113.
The Life of Mary Summers, the human story of one woman's love and how it affected her life and the lives of those she loved. Mary Summers' story is brought to you each weekday by the makers of Itana toothpaste. If every woman only stopped to realize that the value of a charming, lovely smile...
No need to tell women about that. We know what a beautiful smile means to us in terms of popularity.
Yes, but do they all realize that the clean, sound, strong teeth that make a lovely smile are largely dependent upon firm, healthy gums? I feel that if they did, well, that just about every woman who's careful of her smile would go to the drugstore today and ask for Itana toothpaste. For Itana, I-T-A-N-A, Itana toothpaste, when used with stimulating massage, especially designed to help improve your oral health and thus help give you stronger, sounder teeth and that alluring smile that women envy and men admire.
But why is that stimulation necessary?
Well, simply because the creamy, soft foods that we all like so well do not supply our gums with the exercise that's so important to their health. Almost any dentist will tell you our gums tend to grow soft. They tend to get weak and flabby on a diet of soft food. But Itana with massage does stimulate your gums, wakes them up, gets lazy circulation going within the gums. See for yourself. Tonight, after brushing your teeth, massage a little extra Itana into your gums. You feel a tang, a tingly, glowing feeling that's exclusive with Itana and massage. It feels grand, as refreshing as a cold shower after a hard morning's housework. And that famous tang tells the story. It tells you that Itana with massage is helping to make your gums firmer and healthier, helping to protect the very basis of strong, sound teeth and a charming, lovable smile. Be ready to use Itana with massage tonight. Get an economical red and yellow tube of Itana at your druggist today. And now to continue the life of Mary Southern. Yesterday, a Mrs. Proust came to see Reverend Blaine. To realize the full impact of such a visit, you must first know who Mrs. Proust is. When Max's mother and father, Alice and Jerome Sanders, were in town, Mrs. Proust was somewhat of a second-fiddle socialite, a social climber with plenty of money and a great desire to be the leader of the town's social activity. Then, when Mr. and Mrs. Sanders suddenly left the community, Mrs. Proust came into her own, and with her husband, Mr. Gerald Proust, has been sticking her nose into other people's business ever since. Unfortunately, Mr. and Mrs. Proust, because of their wealth, have power. And while the couple may mean well, there are many times when they do more damage than good. And so it was when Mrs. Proust visited Reverend Blaine to make a definite protest against the young Reverend's sympathy toward Max Tilly Sanders, to practically demand that Mary Southern, whom the Reverend is sheltering, be made to move from his home. The Reverend literally told the malicious busybody to mind her own business, refusing to tell Mary anything of the sort. Now, a few moments later, Mary has returned to the Reverend's parlor, ignorant of the fiery visit of Mrs. Proust. Noticing that something is troubling the young clergyman, Mary asks the question.
Reverend Blaine, why did you tell me to forget any idea of working with Mrs. Proust and the other ladies of the congregation? I'm sure that if we all pull together, we can raise a lot of money for the parish, and it would help take my mind off Max and my trouble. A little while ago, you were enthusiastic about it, and now you tell me to forget it. Why?
Well, you see, Mary, there are a lot of things we've got to think of before we go into a thing like that. And, well, I just thought you'd wait.
Tell me the truth, Reverend. That's not it. You never fumble for words. What is it? Something Mrs. Proust has said to you?
Yes.
She doesn't like my living here with you, does she?
Well, Mary... Well, it was mostly about my sympathetic attitude toward Max. Not you so much.
She's always hated the Sanders. She's always envied Mr. and Mrs. Sanders. When they left town, she took over the social side of their lives, but Nance and I held on to the business end of it. She probably thinks this is her chance.
Now, Mary, don't be bitter. Mrs. Booth means well, I'm sure. You see, she just doesn't understand that, well, that Max isn't to blame for his bad deed. She's just like the rest of the town.
What is she going to do?
Oh, nothing. I wouldn't worry about it, Mary. But I do think it would be better for you to forget any, well, any public work until this ill wind blows over.
And you're quite sure that Mrs. Proust didn't make any issues of my living here in your home with my baby?
Now, Mary, do you think the pastor of your church would lie to you?
Yes. Yes, I believe you would, Reverend Blaine. Especially if you thought that by lying you could help someone. And that wouldn't be lying. That would just be being merciful, I suppose. But you're sure she didn't say too much about you and me?
Yes, Mary. I'm sure.
And you can just take your life. I told Reverend Blaine what I thought about that Mary Southern living with him in his house. Reverend, I said, it's bad enough the way you're sticking up for that criminal Max Sanders. But keeping his wife, this Mary Southern, right under your own roof is just too much for me.
Oh, Henrietta, you talk too much. Let me read my paper.
Oh, I talk too much, do I? Well, all right, go ahead. Read those horrible headlines about Max Sanders. He's a fine specimen. Supposed to be our leading citizen. He's nothing but a jailbird, always was and always will be. And Mary Southern's no better. And if you were any kind of a husband, if you had even the slightest instinct of a leader, you'd be behind your wife pushing her along, not kicking her.
Oh, come now, Henrietta. I'm always behind you.
And if you had any gumption in you, you'd be planning right now how you could become Sanders' first citizen.
Eh? I'm the first citizen. Hmm. Hmm. Gerald Worthington Proust. Proust. Proust still. Proust still. We might rename the town just plain Proust.
Proust Day is the best. I thought about it a long time ago.
Cameron Davis and I have always been good friends.
Cameron Davis, what can he do?
He's just the second biggest stockholder in the Sanders interest. He could help me plenty if he wanted to.
Oh, Gerald, it would be so wonderful if you could get into power. I've always thought of you as a leader. But all you've ever been was president of the class of 98 of your college.
Just give me time, Henrietta. Just give me time. You just go on worrying your head about Mary Southern and the Reverend, and I'll have a nice little chat with Cameron Bates. Sanders' first citizen. Not bad. Not bad. Proustdale's first citizen. Proustdale. You better. Well, Tattersall, what do you want?
I beg your pardon, sir, but there's a Mrs. Mary Southern Sanders in the reception hall,
huh?
Who wishes to see Mrs. Proust on a very urgent matter, sir.
Mary Southern?
Here? Yes, sir, here.
Well, I wonder what she wants.
Did she say, Tattersall?
No, sir. She only impressed upon me the fact that it was urgent.
The nerve of that woman coming to my house. I've never heard of such a thing.
Shall I send her away, madam?
You'd better see her. Yes.
Oh. Well, well. All right, send her in.
Very good, madam.
Gerald, now you stay right here by me. Heavens, a woman like that. You tell him what can I do?
No, Henrietta. Now, don't forget you have Mary Southern on the defensive. She should fear you.
Yes, that's so. Well, I'll tell her a thing or two if she starts anything.
Now, that sounds more like my Henrietta.
Mrs. Mary Southern Sanders calling.
Mrs. Sanders.
How do you do, Mr. Proust?
You know my wife, I suppose.
No, I've never had the pleasure. How do you do, Mrs. Proust? How do you do?
Won't you sit down, Mrs. Sanders?
Thank you. And now, what brings you here, Mrs. Sanders? Mrs. Proust, a while ago you called on Reverend Blaine at his home.
Yes, Gerald, stop clearing your throat. And what about it, Mrs. Sanders?
You registered a complaint about the Reverend's sympathetic attitude toward my husband, Max, in his trouble at the moment, and told the Reverend you objected strenuously.
Mrs. Sanders, I don't know if this is any of your business.
Then I'll put you right, Mrs. Proust.
It is my business.
Are you being insolent?
No, ma'am. Thanks.
Mrs. Sanders, just what did you come here for?
To find out if Mrs. Proust also objected to my living at Reverend Blaine's home.
That was the prime purpose of my visit, if you must know.
The parish house is the focal center of the church.
And it's not meant to be a shelter for wives of criminals.
That's enough, Mrs. Proust.
What?
I knew Reverend Blaine lied to me about your visit.
Oh, so he lied to you. A very fine quality for a preacher.
He lied to me to spare me from scathing, gossiping tongues like yours.
Mrs. Sanders, just because you're a woman, don't think you can speak like that in my house.
I'm sorry, Mr. Crusoe. I did forget myself for a moment. I apologize.
Mrs. Priest.
Reverend Blaine is giving food and shelter to me and my babies because we haven't any place to go.
What's wrong with the famous Sanders mansion?
You ought to know that, Mr. Cruz. You're a businessman. It would cost too much to open that house. Besides, at the time I moved in with the Reverend, Max and I were... Well, we were separated.
And you're sticking to a man like that? What's your reason?
I love him.
How amusing. Love him?
Mrs. Proust, I forgot myself once. I don't want to do it again. I know why you're doing this. You've been waiting for a chance like this. You think that because Max is the last of the Sanders and because he's in jail at the moment, you and Mr. Proust can take this town over, don't you?
That's not your business either.
And that's where you're wrong again. Because Max is not a criminal. And you're not going to move in as you'd hoped to.
And who is going to stop
him? I am.
Please, now. This argument...
You shut up,
Jerry. I'll stop you, Mrs. Proust. Max is still in control of the Sanders interest. And while we may be sorely in need of money, we don't need it so badly we've got to take it from you.
Gerald, order this woman out of here.
You don't have to order me out, Mrs. Proust. I've learned everything I want to know. You did threaten poor sweet Reverend Blaine for doing a kind, charitable deed. You have started malicious talk about Max and me. But let me tell you this, Mrs. Proust, and please remember it. Ever since the day I came into this town, I've had to fight for every single ounce of happiness I've had. It's not new to me. I'm... It's not new to me. I'm...